Okay, today we are continuing the Aleph base, back to the basics. Okay, we're going back to the basics, learning the Aleph base. Today on the second day. Yesterday we learned about the letter Aleph. Today we're going to discuss very briefly the letter Beis. A few interesting things that I came across the letter Beis. Okay, everyone knows what the Beis looks like?
Bias.
So once you mention bias, once you had a base, it's interesting. Why do we call it a base, not a bias? I do not know. Aleph bina, we call it a base. But the base is a bias. So once you mention bias, it's very interesting. You know, in English, there's an expression, a ladies first. Right? Ladies first. Everybody ever heard of that?
Yes.
Anyone here married? So they say it's a goyish thing. It's a goyish thing. Ladies don't go first. Achori ari v'loy achori yisha. Women do not. Men are in charge. Men. It's not a Jewish thing to say that women should go first. Men should go first. However, the first letter in the Torah really alludes to a wife, because v'chiper ba'adoy uva'ad beisoy. Zu ishtoi. So the bias, the keres habayis, is a reference to the isha, to the wife. So ladies first. If you look in the Torah, the first letter of the Torah, Bereishis, is the big base, really does allude to the fact. I don't know the significance. A lot of these things I'm telling you, I'm just telling you ideas. I don't really know how to connect the dots, the deeper meaning, but it definitely is something of significance to take note of, that idea that Beisai Zu Ishtoi, the letter Beis is the bias. There are many Mamari Chazal to discuss the Hawi Isha, the Keras HaBayis, and it is something to take note that is the first letter in the Torah. Okay, let's go to some other ideas. The letter Beis, just sounds like very simple from the Gemara. The letter Beis, if you notice, has two uksin. The truth is, the letter Beis really has three uksin. What an uktz means a point, or a very large tag. We're not doing Hilchas Safras, not going to go through the Mishnah Seferim, but if you on the letter Beis on the bottom has an extension, and that extension requires a very significant point on an angle towards the Aleph. The bottom of the base, it extends further back on the right side, and not only does it extend further back, it points. There's a significant thorn which comes up. The top of the letter base it's not really required, but the top of the letter base is square. A little point. It's not the point is not al pi halacha, just to make sure that it's a point and it's not round. Because if chas v'shalom, it's round on the top in any slight way, it's already a shayla that it's a letter chof. But it does have a very significant tag. It's not even a tag. It's a very strong point in the front of the base. So these two tagim, the Gemara tells us that the letter base was asked, who created you? Who created you? So the base points up. The tag on the top left, the point on the top left, or the tag that comes out of the top of the base points. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's his name? It shows the tag, the point on the right bottom to the Aleph. Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that created me. Okay, the letter base is closed. Is closed on three sides. It's open on the right side. What does that allude to?
On the left side.
On the left side, it alludes to the world. The Gemara says, or the Chazal says, the Medrash, or that the base represents, it's the first letter of the Aleph base. It really captures within it the concept of creation. The world is closed on whatever this means on three sides, on the east, west, and the south. But it's opened on the north. The north, that's the point I want to make. The north is a very dangerous part of the world. We find in Chazal, Pasuk in Yeshaya, Mitzofon. No, the west is where the Shekhinah resides. The west means from the north is where evil comes. The Nebuchadnezzar attack from the north. And really, the truth is that they are on the east. But in order to come to Eretz Yisrael, you can't go from east to west. Bavel, because you can't travel in the desert. In order for Bavel to come and attack Eretz Yisrael, they have to go up. because that you have to go up to the north and come around and then come down. You can't go directly from east to west, but you can't travel from Bavel. Going to Bavel, you're really going up. You're going on an angle up from east to west, but you can't travel that region. You got to go up and come down. So from the perspective of those living in Eretz Yisrael, Mitzofain, from the north is where the evil Babylonians will come down and descend. That pasuk that's used in reference to Babel is a mashal that the koyach of the north is very dangerous. It's a very dangerous side of the world. The other parts of the world are contained, are protected. It's a Kabbalistic concept which we do not know what it means. If you look in the Beis HaMikdash, we know, we can get a little bit of a taste, is that what was on the north? The Shulchan. And the Shulchan represents Mammon, Ashiros. What was in the south? The Menorah represents Torah. Kesef Ya'ane Esakol. Kesef is a very great danger. It's a very big nesoin how to deal with Kesef. Ya'ane Esakol, the north. That now, what it means, very interesting. You look at Sefer Torah. If this is true, that the base represents the world, and three sides are closed, and the only side that's open is the north, that means the top of the base, you have a Sefer Torah in front of you, and the first thing you encounter is Mizrach, which is true. Because the Bima generally is positioned towards the Aron HaKodesh. And the Aron HaKodesh in the Beis HaKnesses is due east. Back, the bottom part of the base on the Sefer Torah is on the Bima, is south, is west. The right side is Doraim, is the south. And the left side is Tzofa, which fits very perfectly with the letters of the Alpes, which also means the first thing you encounter when you open up a Sefer Torah is the Doraim. The most extreme part of a Sefer Torah is the top left corner of the base. And what's the top left corner of the base? The south. What's the south? The Doraim. What's the Doraim? Torah. That's where the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was in the Doraim. The first thing you encounter is the koyach of the Doraim, which captures to some degree the koyach of the koyach of the Torah. Okay, let's go further. Okay, this is a small. I have some major ideas I want to go, but I'm going to put aside a few small things. First of all, there's a very interesting concept of the Torah. How many letters are there in the Aleph base? 27, 22 plus the Man Sapach, for a total of 27. How many sets of three? How many sets of three? Nine. Nine times three is 27. There are three, so there's a Medrash. The Medrash says that the Torah is Mishu Lashim. The Torah is broken up into sets of three, which means Aleph Beis Gimel, Dalet Hei Vav, Zayin Ches Tes, each three. Every set of three, and the reason we're illustrating this with the first set, is when you add up the value of every set of three, and you take the middle of that set, that middle is always a third of the sum. It's a very phenomenal, fascinating insight into the numbers. What's the hashkach? What is the significance? I do not know. But let's say simple. Aleph Beis Gimel. So it's a total of six. One plus two plus three equals six. What's the middle letter of the set? Two. What is two? Two is a third of six. And this, so base, this is true for every subsequent set of the nine sets of the Aleph Beis. When you add up all of the numbers of each set of three, you'll always get the middle letter is always going to be a third of the total sum of each set. Okay, let's go to another idea. How do we refer to the letters? The number of the letters of Achas is one, Shtayim, Shalosh, Arba, Chamesh, Shei, Sheva, Shmona. All of the numbers are written b'loshon Yochid, except for the number two, Shnayim or Shtayim. There's a Yud Mem appended to the end of Shnei, of two, of the other letters Shalosh, Arba. There's no suffix which indicates that this number is a plural. It's a fascinating concept because the number Beis Miut Rabim Shnayim. The smallest minority, once you go from one to two, once you come to a concept of two, you're going now into a Rabin. And among all of the numbers in the number system, the only number that we actually, when we define it and refer to it in the plural with the Yud Mem, is Shnayim. Not Shalosh, not Arba, not Chamesh, not Shesh, Sheva, Shmona, Tesha, Asara, only Shnayim do we have that suffix Yud Mem. Okay, another small idea. Bereshis. The first letter of the Torah was written was with the word Bereshis. It's interesting that the Shoy, we refer to the letter Beis as the word Bais. In the Torah, what is the Shoyresh of the word Bereshis? Rosh. So the letter Beis and the Yud and the Sof at the end are a prefix and a suffix. And that spells Bais. The real first word of the Torah is Rosh. The beginning. But Bereshis, in the beginning, according to the Targum, according to Rashi, is no interpretation, and the Yud and the Sof has to be there just to serve as a shimush for the word Rosh. And it's interesting that the first prefix and suffix, the first packaging, think about it, the Torah was packaged. It came in a wrapper. Rosh is the first word of the Torah. The packaging for the first letter of the Torah is not just the letter Beis, but it's the entire concept of bias. Chazal tells us that when he created the world in order that this world should be a place resting to bring the Shekhinah into this world. The world serves as a bias for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many different dimensions. The Mishkan is the Asuli Mikdash Vishachanti Bisocham. The Mikdash Kaviyachal is the bias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person, a human being, is also the bias, the resting place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The purpose of this world, the first letter of the Torah, is the letter Beis, because the world was created to serve as a bias for the Shekhinah, and the only way it can serve as a bias is through the observance of Torah. Okay, let's go to another idea. This is a very interesting concept. The first and the last letter of the Torah is Beis and Lamed. Right? Bereshis is the Beis. Leini Kol Yisrael is Lamed. Hashem's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei. And there's a repetition of the letter He. So basically we have three letters that spell Hashem's name. Yud, the letter He, and the letter Vav. Right, Yud, K, Vav, K. So the letter Hey appears twice, and we have Yud, we have a Vav, and we have a Hey. If you append the letters of Hashem to the letter Beis or to the letter Lamed, you always have a complete word. B, Bo, Ba. Lamed, same thing. Li, Lo, La. There is no other letter in the entire Aleph Beis where you could append all three letters of Hashem's name and have a complete word. Every single letter, let's say you have the letter Beis. B, okay, that works. That's the letter Beis. Let's say the letter Gimel. G doesn't make any sense. Go, Ga. Go through. Some of them you'll have two, but you'll not have all the letters of the Aleph Beis, such a concept. So that goes to show that's why the Torah is in package in the letter Beis Lalam, because this is something which is able to be koilel, to serve as the bias, to serve as the receptacle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now let's go to another idea. This is a much deeper idea. The first time we find the concept of Beis, a very significant concept of number two in the Torah, is Abba Luchos. In fact, you can't discuss the letters of the Aleph Beis without discussing the piyut that we say on Pesach, Echad Miyodeya, Echad Miyodeya, Shtayin Miyodeya, Shnei Luchos Habris. The fact that the Torah was given in two Luchos, what does that mean? Why the whole Torah was captured, can be condensed, can be contained within the Aseres HaDibros, that's a very profound concept. Okay, fine. Hashem gave us the Aseres HaDibros, and that captures the entire Torah. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to give us the Aseres HaDibros on two separate tablets? And obviously, this number two, the whole essence of the letter Beis is captured in this concept that the Torah was given in the two tablets. The proof being that when we want to focus on the letter Beis in this riddle, in this piyut, Shtayin Niyodea, Shtayim Aniyodea, Shnei Luchos Abris. There are two Luchos. What is the significance? So there's a very deep idea that the reason why the Torah was given with two Luchos is because the Torah wants us to read the Aseres HaDibros across. In other words, what's the first of the Aseres HaDibros? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What is the sixth of the Aseres HaDibros? Lo Sirtzach. What is the... Read it across. What is the connection of reading across Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Sirtzach? The message is that if you kill a human being, you murder a human being, you are denying the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How so? Because Ki Betzelem Elokim Bara Nivra Adam. Man is created in the image of God. Every human being is a chelek me'elokam mimal. Murdering a human being is the open, you openly ignore the fact Anochi Hashem Elokecha. A human being is the tzelem Elokim. So there is some very great significance in it being read across. Other examples. Lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim. Don't worship other gods. What does that correspond to? Latinoff. Adultery. That's exactly. Are you loyal? Who are you loyal to? You loyal to your spouse? Latinoff. Who are we loyal to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's self-understood. Next. Next one. Do not testify falsely. Lo sa'ane v'reacha eid shoker. What does that correspond to? Lo tignoif. Theft. It's all the same idea. Person. Once a person is not honest, you're willing to testify, you're willing to sheker, your money is my money. Your property is my property. You'll take it with it. It's a very common theme which goes between the sheker. Sheker is in my relationship to concept, testify falsely, and theft. Why do we observe Shabbos? To recognize... Yeah, I'm getting confused.
Lasisa,
I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Lasisa is a loy tignoif. That corresponds to them, so I made a mistake.
Lasisa shemala shav
corresponds to loy tignoif. I'm sorry. Do not testify falsely. You have to match up. There's a lot of Torah on this. We're not going to go through all the Torah, but there's a lot of parallels between all the mefarshim talking about this. To connect, read the Aseres HaDibros. The point they want to make is that this opens up a whole new understanding of the Torah and a whole new understanding of how we live our lives. In other words, if the Aseres HaDibros would have been given on one tablet, so you look at each of the Dibros, okay? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that's it. Hashem exists. Life is linear. It's very boring. There is no dimension to life. By Hashem giving us the Torah on two separate tablets, Hashem is forcing us to make connections. The concept of Beis, the reason why the concept of Beis exists in the world is, in life, there's something here, and everything has a match. And when you bring together two different concepts, it opens up worlds. It makes you think. It makes you appreciate the depth that lies behind something else. If you just have one concept, no, there's a Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Okay, very good. And there's something, don't kill, lo sirtzach. That's it. If that's not the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah with the letter Beis. He took the Torah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, he put on one tablet, and he took the mitzvah of Lo Sirtzach, another halacha of Lo Sirtzach, on another tablet. And what did that accomplish? That forced us to understand that it's not just the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when there's a person. A person is a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a very deep, profound concept. That concept is only brought out to us through the letter Beis, through the concept of breaking things apart and challenging a person to connect the dots, to connect the concepts together. That creates a whole different world. A world of depth, a world of dimension, a world of parallels and insight and many layers of interpretation. And that is all built into the concept of the letter Beis, which is the beginning of the Torah, and is how the Torah was given in two separate columns, forcing us to make these connections and to connect these gaps. So let's go to another idea. And this is very interesting. Now, the letter Beis throughout Tanakh, this is a collection. I saw this in Michel Stern's Sefer. He has a Sefer on the Aleph Beis, and he shows that the letter Beis throughout Tanakh can be interchanged at times with four other letters. Now, I want to give you different examples. One example of each one to bring out this point. It's not really. I'll try to bring out why, and you could probably do this with other letters as well. But let's one letter at a time. Letter Beis. The letter Beis can be exchanged with the letter Vav, with the letter Mem, the letter Pei, and the letter Chaf. Well, let me give you an example, then we'll discuss the significance. First of all, where do you have an example of the letter Beis being exchanged with the letter Vav? And why would you want to do so? So it appears the reason why it's done is because phonetically, they're very similar. Beis and Vav, or we say Vase. Whole question is it Vase, is it Beis? I'm not going into that. I'm not going to the grammar of the Sfaradin, Ashkenazim. Dots, no dots. And even if you hold that the Sfaradin, they can pronounce it correctly. But the Gross says, even those that say there's no difference whether there's a Beis with that, there is still some small difference. And the proof is the Nasati Esev Besadicha. The Gemara says you have to be careful to separate Esev from the word Besadcha. This Luchara is a Raya to the Sfardim. Esev, how do you say in the Havarat Sfardit? Esev, right? There's no difference between the Beis and the Vase. Besadcha. Besadcha is as a dot, a dogish. So it's exactly the same letter. But if you're an Ashkenazi, there's a fundamental difference between Esev, V, Besadcha is a B. Two different sounds. So there's no way you can possibly make them. Why would the Gemara tell us to be careful to separate the base of Esev with the word Besadcha when one is a vase and one is a base? So Luchara, this is a raya to the Svardim that there is no difference in pronunciation between the vase and a base. Where there's a dot, there's no dot. But that's not so simple because even according to them, there is a slight difference which they're not so careful to pronounce. And that's what the Gemara is telling us, that you should try to be with. When you say Kriya Shema, even that little difference, which is very hard for the average person to pronounce, when he whatever. That's the point I want to make. Here's the example I want to go make. We say, I'm sure you've all been to a wedding, and by the wedding they make a bracha. Al yidei chupa v'kiddushin baruch ato Hashem hamekadesh Yisrael al yidei chupa v'kiddushin with the vav, right? V'kiddushin. What's the obvious kasha? What goes first? And we do it together. Whatever. You learn the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin. What do you do first? Do you do first kiddushin or do you do chupa? There's kinyan. Erisin, Kiddushin, Harayan Mikudeshes Libetabazo, and then she's Oster for a year, and then you make Kinyin Chupa, Nisuin. Nisuin is Kinyin Chupa, is the Kinyin Nisuin. So it should be Amakadeh Shishrol Al Yidei, Chupa, the Kiddushin. The order is wrong. It's clear as day. So what is going on? So this exactly illustrates this point, that sometimes the letter Vav is to be interpreted as if it's the letter Beis. The Beis and the Vav, not only are they phonetically similar in sound, in grammar, in Tanakh, sometimes they're interchanged as far as meaning. And if it would have said Al Yidei Chupa Bi Kiddush, let's say there was a Beis in the Nusach of the Bracha. That's what the Rif says. So that the Ran says. So if it would say Al Chupa Bi Kiddushin, it would make what would it mean? Yemekadesh Chupa Bi Kiddushin after Al Yidei. The Beis means Al Yidei. First you make the Kiddushin, and now that you've put into motion the Kiddushin, then you can then go ahead and do the Chupa. It would make perfect sense. And in fact, according to some, have the Girsa, Al Yidei Chupa Bi Kiddushin. Chupa that comes Al Yidei Kiddushin. But there are many Mepharshim who explain that you don't need to exchange the Vav with the Beis. It's self-understood. Because in grammar, the Beis and the Vase are understood to be virtually interchanged. So when you're saying Al Yidei Chupa the Kiddushin, you really mean to explain it, to translate it, to interpret it as Chupa be kiddushin. That's also a very interesting example. We find the beis and the vav, being that they are phonetically similar, it has ramifications not just in how it sounds, but even in a simple interpretation of a bracha, nusach bracha. Now, what about a mem? So this is an Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says we have a pasuk. It's one of many. I'm just giving you one of many examples. We have a pasuk in Parshas Vayakel. Vayas es hakior nechoshes, v'es kano nechoshes, bimaros hatsovos, with the mirrors of hatsovos of the hosts asher tsovu, which were gathered Pesach Ohel Moed. So what does it mean bimaros? It's not, according to the rules of grammar, it's not really grammatically correct to write the bimaros. It should say mimaros, with the mirrors that the Jewish people provided. So he cites this as an example, and there are many other examples in Tanakh that the beis sometimes is interpreted as if it's a mem. So sometimes we have a beis, it's really, they made the kiyar and the kanoi, nechoshes, mimaros, from the mirrors, mimaros. So the beis, not bimaros, mimaros, from the mirrors and the nechoshes. Okay, this is another. Why? I don't know why. I really don't know why. What the beis and the mem have in common. I think it's because here it's an interpretation of very similar in concept. In beis means a mokoim. It has an emphasis on in. Sometimes the beis is used, and sometimes the mem is used, depending on the context. So being that in concept is very similar, that's why we are able to exchange the beis with the mem. The vav and the beis are interchanged because they are phonetically similar. The beis and the mem are interchanged because they are conceptually similar. In, within. One really refers to mokoim, one refers to something else. I'm not exactly sure of the right terms to define this idea, but it conceptually they are similar, and when something is conceptually similar, the laws of Jush allow us for them to be interchanged. Okay, another example. The beis and the chof can be interchanged. Now that's very similar. Why? Because they look alike. The beis and the vav sound alike. The beis and the mem conceptually are similar, but the beis and the chof look almost identical, because one is just round on top and one is square on top. We make a leg, that's not required. If you have a sefer Torah, they leave out the leg of the beis, the bottom of the beis, it's a kosher l'chatchila. We make an ukitz, we make a long leg on the bottom of the beis, you don't need that. If you make a beis that's a square on the bottom, kosher l'chatchila. In fact, some takalon, that's how you should make a beis. You should not have an extension on the bottom. What then is the difference between the beis and the chaf? It's round on top. That's the primary difference. Laws of Safra, and be magia, and all these details, but they look alike. Where do we have a situation where we have this idea where they look alike and make the difference? Vayivoser Yaakov Levadoi. Chazal Darshin, what did he go back for? Why did Yaakov go back? To retrieve the Pachim Kitanim. So Chazal Darshin, Vayivoser Yaakov, don't read it Levado with the beis, Lekado. For his pitchers. Yaakov was all alone because he went back to retrieve the kado. A kad is a pitcher. So we have a chazal. They are telling us that you can interchange the beis and the chof.
You need a catcher for the pitcher.
Why? Because they look alike. What's the last one? The pay. Where do we have the Mishnah? They still says hevker bezdin hevker. The beis and the pay can be exchanged. Barzel, hefker, hefker, and hefker. Barzel, what's the talking about barzel? Parzela. Parzela. In a letter pay in a Sefer Torah, what is the blank part? You ever look in the Sefer Torah? Look at the letter pay. Look at the blank part inside of the letter pay. It's a beis. The white space of the letter pay in the Sefer Torah. And they're being a riot, that's how you have to write a pay. The pays in the Old Sefer Torah were not written right. They're written a little bit differently. But it has to be a blank space of a beis inside the pay, because the beis and the pay are are interchangeable. I'll give you a very interesting example to illustrate this point. The Rosh HaPrakim of this idea, the Bris Bein HaBesarim. The Bris Bein HaBesarim, Avraham Avinu was told to take a whole collection of animals, an ayil, meshulash, v'tar, a whole bunch of animals, and a bird. And the animals he split, he cut them into pieces. But the Esat Sipar, the bird, Loy Bosar, Beis Sofresh, he did not break. Loy Bosar. What do the animals refer to? What does the bird refer to? So Rashi said, running Rashi Prakim, to bring out this point. What do the animals refer to? Rashi, look in the Chumash, the Umos Sa'olam. What does the bird refer to? The bird refers to Klal Yisrael. What was the Bris Bein HaBesarim in response to? A question. The question was, how do I know that my children will be deserving to inherit Eretz Yisrael? How do I know that we deserve to take it away from the Goyim? So Hashem is giving him an explanation. Bosar, if you exchange the bays for the pay, what do you get? Posar. What does posar mean? To explain, to elucidate, to interpret. Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need an explanation why we deserve Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem said, I'm not giving an explanation for the Umo Sa'olam, take the aisle for them, Bosar, break it apart, or we interchange the pay with the bays, Posar. But the Esat Sipa for Klal Yisrael, you're above that. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Posar. The Klal Yisrael, I'm not giving you an explanation of why I want you to have Eretz Yisrael. You're on a higher madrega and you don't need an explanation. The Umos Sa'olam need an explanation why you are deserving of Eretz Yisrael. This is a drush which has to be explained and elaborated upon, but you see how far it goes, this idea of interchanging the bays with the pay. So Sach HaKol, we have over here the letter beis, and the letter beis in halacha and in grammar interpretation can be interchanged at times with four different letters. The vav, they're phonetically similar. The letter chaf, they look alike. They actually look alike, the beis and the chaf. The letter mem, which conceptually accomplishes the same thing in the rules of grammar, and the letter pay. I'm not exactly sure why pay and beis are interchanged, and each one has many illustrations in Tanakh where we actually exchange these letters. I gave you from a bracha, Adi Chupa, Vikidushin, which is interpreted to mean Bikidushin. The chaf and the beis is Vayivoser Yaakov Levado, Lakado. The mem, the bimaros, nimaros, and the pay, barzel, parzel, hefker, and tsipor, loy, bosor, loy, posa. Okay, let's go to another for future things, almost finished. Why the Hashem created, there's a measure, very interesting measure, Hashem created the world with the letter base. Why the letter base? Before Hashem created the world, all the letters came to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they promoted themselves, they campaigned. Hashem, create the world with me. And at the end was Hashem said, I'm going to use the letter beis. Why? Because the letter beis said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was its argument. They're going to use me to bless you. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. All of the brachos begin with the letter beis. And with that argument, the letter beis prevailed. And the Farshim explained, because you look at the dialogue, there's a Midrashim which explained, all of the letters focused on themselves. I have this smila. This letter said, I have this smila. The only letter that said, everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's focus on the milas of someone else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the letter base. Baruch Atah Hashem. It's not so much that it's a bracha, but the focus is they were willing to show that it's not about me. It's about you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, something that's very interesting coming to the very end is the unusual letter beis is in the Torah. How many unusual letter, large and small, there in the Torah? A grand total of three. Okay, everyone knows the first, the big beis of Bereishis. Okay, where else is there a big beis?
In the Torah.
It's not in the Torah. No, in the whole Tanakh.
Right.
The last pasuk of Shir HaShirim. I'm not so sure it's done today. We mentioned this yesterday. If it's done, it's the last pasuk of Shir HaShirim. Berach Dodi. Domel Tzvi Ol Ofer Hayolim Al Horei Visanim. The last pasuk of Shir HaShirim, Birach, as a large base. Now, I'm not sure in this Tanakh, the Megillus today, they actually do it, but it did cite it in the Machzor Vitri that there should be a large base. What's the interpretation? What does this mean? So I didn't see a good interpretation, but I think the significance is the Torah is called a Shira. The Atem, the Atah, Kisvu Lechem Es HaShira Hazos. Shir HaShirim is also a Shira, obviously. It is not only a Shira, it's Kodesh Kodashim. Kol HaShiros Kodesh, V'Shir HaShirim, Kodesh Kodashim. It represents Shlomo HaMelech, his relationship to the Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shir HaShirim. It's from base to base. The first base is the first letter of the Shira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlomo HaMelech represents our receiving the Torah. And the last pasuk he wrote in his Shira as a compliment to receive the Torah and to thank Hashem for the Torah and what he has done, he wrote Shir HaShirim. And that last pasuk of his Shira is also a large base. It's to show the reason why there is a large base at the end of Shir HaShirim is to show that this entire Shir that I'm giving you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is only a connection, is only a relation, is only an acceptance of the Shira that you have given us and you have given the world. The base of the Shira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we accept it and we relate to it, we parallel, we connect to it through our acceptance of our Shir HaShirim, and which concludes Berach Toidi, which refers to the Geula HaSida, Berach Toidi, Hashem, you shall bring the Geula swiftly. Okay, where else do we have an unusual base? There's only one other unusual base in the Torah, in Tanakh, and that is in Mishlei. Very scary pasuk. The pasuk says, La'aluka shtei banos. To the aluka there are two daughters. Who's the aluka? Aluka is a leech. It's some type of insect which sucks blood. It sucks blood and has two daughters. And what do the two daughters say? Have, have. It's pasuk in Mishlei. It's, I forgot to write down where it is in Mishlei, but it's in Mishlei somewhere, you'll find it. I don't paraglamet. I think it's paraglamet. La'aluka shtei banos. And what are they? Have, give. Twice. Have. The first have has a little base. It's the only little base in the entire Torah. Tarach. The second base is large. What's the significance? I don't really have a good interpretation. The only thing I saw is that the aluka refers to death, the malach hamavis. It sucks the blood out of us, takes our life, and it entices us to do averos. It says, give me, do averos, do it avera. The derech of the Yetzirah is, he doesn't start out with overwhelming force. Just a little avera, a little teeny avera. Once he gets you a little, then I give a bigger avera, a big avera. So when you say half, when you write half the little base that has a connotation, just a little bit, half, a small base. The next base is full size. Half starts out small and comes and wants to suck out a lot. The Mitzvah Day, look at the past. The Mitzvah Day says half how refers to when after a person dies, after the Aluka, the Malach HaMavis takes the person to Shama, there are two places to go. There's Gan Eden and Gehenim. They both are saying, half, come to us. Come to us. So one has a small base and one has a regular size, which means that one place, there are very few people. Small base is a connotation. It's an exclusive club. Gan Eden. Not everyone makes it into Gan Eden. Gehenim has a regular size base. Plenty of room here. The other one, no. Members only. Ha! There's a small base. You have to be Zocha. The only way to get to be Zocha to the small base is if you Mekayim the big base. The small base needs compensation with the big base. It has to be balanced out. If you mekayim the big base of Bereishis Baruch Elokim of the Torah, then you've balanced out the base. You can go into the exclusive club where there's a small base, half come. But if you don't fulfill the big base, then unfortunately the other base is waiting. Okay, so I think pretty much we've covered. Let me just make sure I got everything down here. Okay, I think pretty much we got everything I wanted to say. Have a wonderful day. Mir Tashem will continue with the letter Gimel.
Tomorrow, 9:30.